evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, August 14th, 2015. President Kiir will not be heading to Addis Ababa today as planned to take part in final negotiations at the peace talks.
We have to establish in clear terms what is happening in the camp of the SPLM-IO, because we heard that in the ranks of the rebels have defected and declared Dr. Riek Machar as not their leader and that another leader has taken over.
And a spokesman for the SPLM-IO says Mr. Kiir and the Ugandan president should come now to the negotiating table in Addis.
We call upon the international community to bring the pressure on both Kiir and Museveni to come back to the peace table, because the war will not be settled in the military front.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir will not travel to Addis Ababa for peace talks with opposition leader Riek Machar. That was the bombshell that was dropped today in Juba, just 3 days before the warring sides are expected to sign a peace deal. Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elias Lumoro told reporters in Juba today that government negotiators have also been asked to return to South Sudan for consultations. Philip Thonaleu reports for VOA from Juba.
Lumoro says the decision for President Kiir not to attend the talks was reached after a two-day meeting of cabinet ministers and the governors of all 10 states. He says the negotiating team is being recalled so that they can debrief the government and other officials on what has been agreed and disagreed in the last week of talks in Addis Ababa. Lumoro says there is another reason for the decisions which could sound the death knell of this last chain of peace talks.
They also agreed that we have to establish in clear terms what is happening in the camp of the SPLM-IO, because we heard on the 7th, 13 of the generals that are in the ranks of the rebels have defected and declared Dr. Riek Machar as not their leader and that another leader has taken over.
Lumoro says that is the reason that President Salva Kiir will not travel to Addis.
If the president is going to go to Addis Ababa, he must go with a clear mind as to who he's going to meet and negotiate with. So we are requesting IGAD to establish and to inform us that whether Dr. Riek is still in charge and whether he's able to reconcile and agree with his people and reunite, or we should negotiate with both parties to the conflict in the SPLM-IO camp.
Machar SPLM in opposition has played down the announcement earlier this week by two former rebel generals that they have set up their own movement. In an interview with South Sudan in Focus, one of the generals, Gatou Gatkwoth, said the main grief of the new movement is with President Kiir and Machar. He said the two leaders are taking part in peace talks in Addis Ababa not for the good of South Sudanese people, but because they want to secure their positions in a future government. Lumoro says the government of South Sudan considers a warning from IGAD Plus lead mediator Siom Mospin that negotiators will not leave Addis unless they sign a peace deal by Monday's deadline unacceptable. Siom told reporters in Addis Ababa yesterday after a meeting with negotiators from both sides.
We have all IGAD countries here, and the message they have been passing across to the chief negotiators is one and the same. You cannot leave Addis Ababa this time without signing this agreement by the 17th of August.
Siom also expressed frustration with the South Sudanese warring sides. He said the international community has lost passion with President Salva Kiir's government and the rebel movement led by Machar. This time, the Ethiopian diplomat said the deadline for the two sides to strike a deal will not be extended.
Enough is enough. It is frustration and hopelessness that is reigning in South Sudan and all over the world. There is no any other chance.
The deadline for a peace deal to be signed is Monday. Lumoro says the South Sudanese government expected a different caliber of statement from the negotiating team.
This, we feel, is not the attitude and the language of a mediator, but the language of somebody who has intentions, bad intentions, for the Republic of South Sudan. And we think that the IGAD leadership should really rethink their position in the way that they approach the mediation team.
Lamoro says the South Sudanese people should remain vigilant as the August 17 deadline draws closer. He did not say what steps the government will take once the deadline has passed. Eastern Equatorial State Governor Luis Lobong Lojore says the decision of the government should not be allowed to derail the peace talks.
We want to appeal that the IGAD Plus and others in the international community that bringing about peace require, it is a process, require time, and it is better to go slowly but sure rather to rush and sign a peace that will always create more problems.
There have been government rallies in recent weeks against the peace agreement that IGAD Plus expects the two sides to sign around 72 hours from now. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Meanwhile, the spokesman for the SPLM-IN opposition at the talks, Stephen Parr, says Uganda is behind President Kiir's refusal to join the peace talks in Addis. Parr says the government's trying to shift the peace talks to Uganda. He says that would be unacceptable to the opposition.
Uganda is a warring party. Uganda cannot be part of the mediation, and any forum that is Ugandan-based will not be accepted by the stakeholders of this peace process and the SPLM-SPLA.
Parr says the opposition is still committed to reaching a peace deal by Monday's deadline.
We call upon the international community to bring the pressure on both Kiir and Museveni to come back to the peace table, because the war will not be settled in the military front.
The IGAD Plus mediation team said they would not comment until they had confirmation from Juba that Mr. Kiir indeed would not be attending the talks. Bashar, meanwhile, is blaming the Ugandan president for derailing the talks in Addis Ababa as well. Bashar says Mr. Museveni revamped the document that's being discussed in Addis to meet the interests of Uganda. Bashar says he will not sign any deal that's been imposed on the IGAD Plus peace process by the Ugandan president.
There was a meeting in Kampala, which was attended by three heads of state and government, and that is the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, President Uhuru of Kenya, President Museveni of Uganda, and then the Foreign Minister of Sudan. They met as frontline states to South Sudan, and they discussed the proposed compromise agreement by the IGAD Plus. The resolutions they made, one is that they have changed the power-sharing representation at the state level and confined it only to the executive, while they dismissed the power-sharing at the state level, and particularly for the three states of Upper Nile, where SPLM-SPLA would have 53% of the power, and 33 for the government, and 14 for others. This has now been abolished by Kampala meeting. They also resolve that we return to status quo. This return to status quo is not yet clear what it means. When you come to security arrangements, they resolve very serious matters. The IGAD Plus document says Juba would demilitarize, and even some of the state capitals would also be demilitarized, and some major towns. Now they say, no demilitarization of Juba. We have a new tax. I don't know how it is going to be presented. The Kampala tax, which is competing with the Addis Ababa tax, which is IGAD Plus tax.
Have you made your reservation about the meeting in Kampala to the mediators?
I did. Actually, I wanted to meet the Prime Minister, but then he delegated His Excellency Siu Maspin, who is the chief envoy on the peace talks in South Sudan. He briefed me in full. And when we heard this, we said, you have derailed the peace process. You now have two tax, Addis tax and Kampala tax. Which one are we going to take? How do we call the process? Is it still IGAD Plus process, or is it Kampala process? This is a big concern. We have protested, and we're still continuing to protest.
We spoke to Ambassador Seyoum Mesfin last evening. He was saying this is the last chance for you and President Kiir to bring peace to South Sudan. There will be no extension, and he said the world is united to make sure that by August 17, you have to sign a peace agreement. What is your take on this?
The world is united on what? Are they united on the IGAD plus tax, or are they united on the Kampala tax? The Kampala tax, actually, is Museveni's tax, because what they did in Kampala is to address the concerns of President Salva Kiir. We should have been sitting with President Salva Kiir yesterday and today, negotiating before the 15th, when we would be joined by the IGAD leaders in a summit form. He has not come. So where is the way forward? I've been here since the 11th.
Do you have any problem with the IGAD Plus document?
We have issues that we would want to discuss. We are continuing negotiating on those issues. But, you know, it is always good to say, this is the document you negotiate on. You don't put people in confusion. You give them a document and you say, this is the document. Then the same people go and come up with another document and say, well, this is how they think. That's a confusion.
And let me use your word. In this confusion, do you see a settlement to this conflict?
It's the leaders of IGAD that will direct us now, because they have plunged the process into confusion. If they were courageous, some would just quit and say, look, this thing is not going forward, even at their own level. If they differed that so much, are they mediators? What are they in this case? They're not directing it. So CM should begin to think seriously about the matter.
That's rebel leader Riek Machar speaking with my colleague John Tanza today in the Ethiopian capital. The interview was conducted before we learned that President Kiir would not be traveling to Addis for the peace talks. South Sudan in Focus editor Karen Zeitvogel spoke with Nyal Deng Nyal, the lead negotiator for the government. He gave a different reason for President Kiir's absence from the talks, and Deng also denies that his negotiating team has been called back to Juba.
President Kiir only received the formal invitation letter from the Prime Minister of Ethiopia yesterday. And so obviously, at such short notice, you wouldn't expect him to come. And the second issue, I do not have any instructions from Juba to report back to Juba. I and the entire delegation are still here in Addis Ababa.
So you have not been asked to go back to Juba? They said that you were being recalled for consultations.
Absolutely not. I've not been recalled, and I'm still here with the entire delegation in Addis Ababa.
So do you expect that there will be a peace deal signed on Monday the 17th?
Well, efforts are undergoing to try to reach a peace deal by that date, but I can tell you for certain that there will be a peace agreement on the 17th. The delegations are still working towards that idea, that objective.
Elias Lomoru said that the government finds it unacceptable that Seyoum Finn said that the deadline will not be extended, that the mediators have had enough and they want this thing to be wrapped up by the 17th, by the deadline.
Well, in the discussions, we are here in Addis and we interact almost on a daily basis with the mediators, and we have not had the impression from our engagement with them that the deadline of the 17th is a must. It must be met. We didn't get at all this impression.
That was lead government negotiator Nyal Deng Nyal speaking with Karen Zeitvogel just moments ago from Addis Ababa. South Sudanese who live in Addis say they have never been optimistic that Mr. Kiir and Machar would sign a peace deal. Members of the South Sudanese diaspora in the Ethiopian capital also say they think Uganda has had a hand in trying to derail the IGAD Plus talks. Eskinder Freyu reports for VOA from Addis.
It's not quite expected, you know.
Why? I mean, you are not optimistic that there will be an agreement on Monday?
I'm not sure.
Why are you not optimistic that an agreement will be signed on Monday? Is it because of the failed processes in the past?
The leaders, they don't trust themselves, that's why. They don't trust themselves. So that was the reason. Otherwise, they could trust themselves.
That was one of the South Sudanese who live in Addis Ababa, commenting on the floundering peace talks here. He did not want to be named, but like many other members of the South Sudan diaspora here, says he has never been optimistic that a peace deal would be signed. South Sudanese here say President Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar are not ready for peace. Donadeng is another member of the diaspora. He says it's unacceptable that South Sudan is at war with itself.
If you fight by the other countries like Uganda, like Kenya, I will support my country because my country and country, they fight. But the civil war in the same country, that's very different. That's very different. This, even me now, all the time I'm afraid. The reason why I'm afraid South Sudan, they have a war. But God, please help us to reduce this war.
Like Mashar, many South Sudanese here say Uganda has a hand in derailing the latest round of peace talks. Members of the diaspora say Uganda is trying to look after its own interests and has tried to incorporate them into the compromise peace deal that is being negotiated in Addis Ababa. One member of the South Sudanese diaspora says he thinks Uganda has even influenced President Kiir's decision-making. He says that is taking things a large step too far.
Would have been the wish of all the people, but unfortunately, Kiir is always consulting Museveni, you know, to have a go-ahead. Otherwise, if Museveni is against the peace initiative, nothing is going to work. Unless Museveni tell him that he is going to sign the peace. Unfortunately, he's not going to do it.
Negotiators for Mr. Kiir and Machar have been holding talks for 19 months now to try to end the fighting in South Sudan. But every agreement they have reached has been shattered within days, and the bloodshed in South Sudan has started again. Now, with the announcement that the government negotiators have been recalled to Juba and that President Kiir will not be attending the talks, there might be no agreement at all. And that will lead to further dismay and suffering for the South Sudanese people at home and in the diaspora. For VOA News, I am Skander Freo in Addis Ababa.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Officials say people are dying of hunger in eastern Equatoria State, and it's not because of the ongoing conflict. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite traditional game and how is it played?
They call it swe. You draw it in a rectangular manner and then you divide it into various squares. And when you are done, the skipping starts and then you have your fun with your friends. And at the end of the day, you've maintained the tradition and you've had fun.
My favorite traditional game is called Ora. There are 24 holes. 12 holes for the opponent and 12 holes for me. There are 4 marbles in each hole. And it started by picking one and then dropping one marble in each hole as you progress, even through your opponent's holes. You win the games by getting sets of 4. The person who gets more sets of 4 wins the game.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The French medical charity MSF is warning that malaria is on the rise again in South Sudan. MSF says compared to the same time last year, the number of malaria cases has tripled in parts of the country, particularly in areas that have been affected by the 20-month-long conflict. South Sudan in Focus reporter Ian Bior has this report.
Mark Vandermeulen, head of the MSF mission in South Sudan, says MSF staff have seen disturbing indications that malaria infections are much higher, particularly in the western and northern parts of the country. Mullen says in northern Bahr el-Ghazal State's Awil Hospital, the number of patients hospitalized with life-threatening complex malaria has already exceeded 700 since the beginning of the rainy season in May. That far exceeds the number of cases reported at the same time last year. In Warab State's Kogreal area, MSF says its staff are treating an alarming number of malaria cases for the second year running. He says MSF teams in Garyal have treated more than 9,000 patients so far this season, of which 238 have been hospitalized.
Last year, we had an enormous outbreak. This year, we see a trend which is par with that. And of course, we're hoping that we can, with bringing this message out, mobilize as many people as possible to make sure we have the right support needed.
Mullen says while it's true that medical needs in conflict-affected areas are beyond critical, basic primary health care cannot be neglected anywhere in the country. he warns that a second devastating season of malaria could lead to many preventable deaths.
All the support should be mobilized to get malaria under control. We thought it was appropriate to address that, bring that to the attention and make sure everybody mobilizes in the correct way. And that means all the actors which are active in health, including, of course, the Ministry of Health, to make sure the drugs get there, make sure mosquito nets get to people, and make sure we get as much as possible treatment to people that need it.
Mulan says malaria is also spiking at the UN Protection of Civilians site in Benitou, where the number of people seeking shelter from the fighting has doubled in recent months. He says large-scale displacement of South Sudanese may also be responsible for the significant increase in the number of malaria cases. Malaria mosquitoes are most active at night, and the conflict has forced many people to walk through the night or sleep outside without protection. And Mulan says he's very concerned about people living in remote areas where access to medical care is non-existent. Last year about this time, Mulan says MSF treated at least 170,000 people with malaria. He says that number could be significantly higher this year. The United Nations says malaria accounted for 72% of disease-related deaths in South Sudan last year. For VOA News, I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
Waki Simon Wudu prepared that report from Juba. Officials from Buti County in eastern Equatoria State say as many as 10 people have died of hunger in villages around the county as a result of poor rainfall. The state has been largely unaffected by the ongoing conflict. The drought, however, in eastern Equatoria has had another horrible impact on the state. Two people were killed last week, allegedly, by locals who believe one of them stopped the rain from falling and the other failed to prevent birds from eating their crops. As VOA fellow Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Washington, a prolonged drought has led to a poor harvest and hunger.
Locals in eastern Equatoria State, Hiala Payam, and nearby areas still believe in rainmakers and bird chiefs, who are supposed to make it rain and prevent birds from eating sorghum, millet, and other crops. Some locals apparently took matters into their own hands when that did not happen. State Minister of Information Mark Akio Ikumbul says Osili Solomon, known as the rainmaker in Hiala, was killed for not doing his job, which locals say caused the drought in the state.
Yeah, the drought is almost everywhere, and this is the effect of climate change. Of course, our people still believe in the tradition of rainmaking. They don't want to associate this with the climate changes that all of us know so well. Thinking that as a government, that's a breach of law. Even they have no right to kill anybody.
Cholu Lamini, who is called Bad Chief in the state's Lafon administrative area, was also killed. Locals believe he failed to chase away the birds that were destroying people's crops. Akio says locals believe Lamini was killed by a group of youth called Monyomiji.
This chief of the birds in Lafon was not given the opportunity to invoke, to pray to ancestors in order for the birds to stop consuming the grain. He was not given that opportunity. These people just came, and before he could do anything, they just killed him. This is unfortunate, definitely, and which is why many people are not happy, because normally these people are allowed to carry out their traditional performance given a number of days. It's not the first time that birds have been eating grain in Lafon.
Akio says South Sudanese still believe in traditional rather than focusing on the real problem that causes low crop production, which he says includes climate change.
This climate change, although people are not talking about it, but it is very clear that this thing is creeping into South Sudan. And we know that people talk about climate change elsewhere. But as we are experiencing this now in Eastern Equatoria and some other parts of South Sudan, it is obvious that our agriculture is vulnerable.
And Akio says the prolonged drought, along with the ongoing conflict, has left many parts of eastern Equatoria teetering on the brink of famine.
Well, because dependency on the natural rains for agricultural production put South Sudan and Eastern Equatorial State in particular at risk, you know, at put insecurity, you know, dependency on the natural factors like the rain and so on. This will not make agriculture sustainable.
State Minister of Local Government and Wildlife Lokai Iko agrees that the unsolved murder of the rainmaker and bird chief are directly related to the lack of rain the area is experiencing.
It is connected to the current drought, and I was told the reason is that the guy obstructed the rain. Rain could not come because the guy has obstructed it. That's the purpose for which they have killed him.
Since the conflict began, 10 of thousands of displaced South Sudanese do not have enough to eat, especially in Eastern Equatoria's Budi County. Sam Felix Makuja, the commissioner of Eastern Equatoria State Budi County, says 10 people died of hunger last week. For VOA News, I am Kaltuma Vanessa in Washington.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories. President Salva Kiir will not be heading to Addis for peace talks with rebel leader Riek Machar. That was the announcement today in Juba. The two South Sudanese leaders are under pressure from IGAD, the U.S., and others to sign a peace deal by Monday. Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elias Lamoro says government negotiators have also been asked to return to South Sudan for consultations, but that report has not been confirmed. Lamoro says the decision was reached after a two-day meeting of cabinet ministers and all 10 governors. He says the negotiating team is being recalled so they can debrief officials on areas of agreement and disagreement at the talks in Addis. South Sudanese who live in Addis say they have never been optimistic a peace deal would be signed. They also say they believe the Ugandan president is playing a role in derailing the IGAD Plus talks in the Ethiopian capital. They say Mr. Kiir and Machar are not ready for peace. Donna Deng, a member of the diaspora, says it is unacceptable that South Sudan is at war with itself. And finally, officials from Budi County in eastern Equatoria State say as many as 10 people have died of hunger in villages around the county as a result of poor rainfall. The state has been largely unaffected by the ongoing conflict. The Budi County Commissioner says there is no time to waste and is asking for officials and aid agencies to help by delivering food. And that's a look at today's top stories, and that's our show for this Friday. We leave you with the song New Sudan by Musa Juma. Viva New Sudan. Sudan Upia. Upia.
So get a peace, Sudan in Mamilambo. Apa nine personalities, Southern region.
We've been listening to Musa Juma with the song New Sudan. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. We hope you have a peaceful weekend. Tune in again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.